One of my favorite things to do is research and look up internet reviews for products I'm about to buy. It sounds like a weird thing to do, but every now and again, you find this review that's absolutely hilarious. And there's one that I had to share with you today. I found this review from a reviewer named Pac-Man from 2012 regarding the hit children's book, Where is Baby's Belly Button? Okay? So I just want to say this is a beautifully great children's book. So if you have this at home and read it with your kids, that's great. It's a great book for kids. But he has this caption, this review that made me laugh pretty hard. He said, "This book is completely misleading. The entire plot revolves around finding baby's belly button. The title makes this much clear from the beginning. However, there is no mystery. There is no twist. Baby's belly button is right where it's supposed to be, on baby's stomach, right where it clearly shows you it's on the cover of the book. This plot is a complete mess as a result of its reliance on the mystery of where the belly button is. Everything falls apart the second you realize that the belly button was in plain sight all along. There is no conflict, there is no character development, and there is scarcely any plot. Whoever wrote this book must have a serious error in judgment, because you would have to be an infant to not immediately understand where baby's belly button is. This is one of the worst pieces of literature I've ever read." that got me whenever I read that. Obviously, Pac-Man here is trying to be funny and is approaching this story like he would if he was criticizing a story written for grown-ups. This is a great children's book, very informational to help teach kids where their belly button is. So it's designed for infants. It's a good children's book. However, though this is a hyperbolic example, I think oftentimes we can approach life with a level of criticism like this constant looking down on other people or other things around us with maybe a level of cynicism. We can be huge critics, especially whenever we have been personally slighted by something. We can justify treating waiters with disrespect because they didn't get our order right or didn't come out fast enough. We can look at people and make snap judgments about their appearance or what they're wearing, and normally those aren't great ones. We have social media where we've all been given a voice to clearly and articulately express our negative thoughts about public figures or politicians or whoever the poor soul was that may have crossed us that day. Even within our churches, we can nitpick every aspect of how churches run and how it can be done better. I know I have felt that one when I've been church shopping previously with Abby. As humans, especially in our time, we have a propensity to be cynical and critical. Have you ever stopped to wonder why? What's behind some of that spirit? Perhaps it's the self-inflated misbelief that I can always do it better. Maybe it's the inability to see the bigger picture in moments of inconvenience because we are entitled to anything and everything good. Maybe the criticism and judgment comes from feelings of our own insecurity, if we're doing an honest assessment. Whatever's behind these traits, we don't want to be people who is yet another entitled, critical person in our time, right? It feels like so much of our culture is forming us or pushing us to be people like that. So how do we find freedom from looking at the world through the lens of entitlement and criticism? We've been going through a series on the book of Psalms, and I've absolutely loved going through this series. I hope y'all have enjoyed it as well. Psalms helps give us words and permission to approach God fully and honestly through all the peaks and valleys of life, whether it's sadness or anger or joy. You name the human emotion, and we can bring that honest emotion before the Lord. The fact that this book is in our Bibles illustrates that God wants us to bring before him every part of us for the entirety of our lives. This book is such an aid to help us grow in our relationships with God, who is the shepherd of our souls. The book of Psalms is such a gift to humankind. It is deeply formative As N.T. Wright says, the Psalms are not only poetry in themselves. They are to be the cause of poetry in those who sing them, together and individually. They are God's gifts to us so that we can be shaped as his gift to the world. As we dig into the book of Psalms, as we have done that, we are being formed into human poetry. As we learn to take all of how we are doing to the Lord, to help him, to bring it before him so that we may be refined by him. And after talking about all these other kinds of psalms that we have and looking at so much of the human experience and all of the different emotions we have, I think the genre we're talking about today is one of the most important and formative ones as we are beginning to wrap up this series. This morning, we're talking about psalms of thanksgiving. Psalms about expressing gratitude to the Lord for his abundant blessings he has produced in our lives. And I think in a time and a season where it feels like all the news headlines and posts from people are negative in nature, focusing on all the evil and depravity of humanity, psalms like these today, I think, are crucial for our cultural moment. And a psalm that we're focusing on this morning is Psalm 100. I think this is a simple yet significant and reorienting psalm in our Bible. I know younger generations have this phrase, keep it 100. And that's generally talking about keeping it real, being authentic, being truthful. But what if we took that phrase and sort of converted it to being true to Psalm 100? Keep it 100, keep it Psalm 100, because I think it's very beneficial for all of us. And you're gonna see why. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I think this is such a perspective-shifting psalm. It gives us new lenses to view the world through, to keep it 100. And a very simple flow of this psalm, the Kyle Dingus version of this, is what, why? The first what is verse 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. This is all about worshiping the Lord coming from the joy that is welling up in our hearts. That's the first what we ought to be doing. But why? Why do we do that? Verse 3, know that the Lord, or Yahweh, is God. He made us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We rejoice. We experience joy in our hearts because we personally know the God of the universe. And he made us. And we are in close relationship to him. We are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. And we talked about that in the previous couple weeks about what a shepherd looks like. He cares for us deeply. He directs and guides us where to go in life. I would say that is worth worshiping him with joy in our hearts. The next what is entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. First, here, David, I think, is imagining the gates of Jerusalem and the temple courts and temple grounds. So during this time, Israelites throughout the world would have often come into Jerusalem and then into the temple to make sacrifices of thanksgiving or to make sacrifices to atone for their sins. This was a sincere act of worship in the presence of God. And the temple was where God's presence was most commonly associated during that time. David is compelling all people to enter into the place of worship and God's presence with thanksgiving and praise. And I think it's helpful here to talk a little bit about what we mean about thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving can also mean confession in Hebrew, or a sacrifice of thanksgiving, or a thank offering. It's like an outward expression of gratitude. And this is a little bit like splitting hairs on a definition, but the way that I sort of see gratitude is more of an internal state or working of the heart. And Thanksgiving, on the other hand, is an external expression or confession of that gratitude or thankfulness. I think another psalm that kind of captures this well, captures Thanksgiving well, is Psalm 136. It begins by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And then every line after that is a specific reason why we ought to be thanking God. Following that is, "His love endures forever." You know that hymn that maybe we've sung before, "Count your blessings, name them one by one"? Like, literally count your blessings. That's kind of what Psalm 136 is about. So David is compelling everyone to enter into the place of worship in God's presence with a confession and an expression of thankfulness. Why? Verse 5, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." We enter his gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise because God is so good. Whenever we are in a state of entitlement, whenever we're looking at the world through the lenses of criticism and cynicism, maybe all we can focus on is the bad. But we can take for granted all the blessings and the good that God pours out on us every single day. It's easy and natural that whenever we experience pain or hardship or a dark night of the soul, that we focus on the wrong, the pain. We focus on the evil or how we have been personally slighted. And God, as we've talked about, totally holds space for us whenever we are experiencing those emotions. He wants us to bring those emotions to him. However, so often, the bad of a situation can dominate our thoughts as we forget about all the good God has given us. We're quick to accuse God or be frustrated at God whenever something isn't going how we want. But we are often unaware or silent about all the good that God gives us. We place blame on God for the bad, but rarely express gratitude or thankfulness for the good. And we know he's the author of all goodness. We know that he is the giver of every good gift according to Scripture. God is doing more for us in this moment, right now, more good for us than we can possibly imagine. But we are such prisoners to the moment, oftentimes. We aren't aware of God's goodness in our lives. But the practice of gratitude and thanksgiving, it makes us reflect. It makes us look backwards. God's love endures forever, has endured forever, will continue to. He has and will be faithful through every single generation throughout time. And whenever we are so caught up in the moment, we can lose sight of the bigger picture. We can forget how much God has done in our lives throughout the entirety of our lives. How much God has proven faithful and that he truly and genuinely is working out all things for our good. But whenever we do reflect on God's faithful hand throughout the entirety of our lives, throughout the generations, not just within our own personal life, but his guiding of human history, we are able to more quickly, in moments of hardship, trust that just as he has come through before, he will come through again. I bet many of y'all are able to look back at your own life, remember some of the dark nights of the soul that you have experienced, and yet now are able to look back on some of those instances or times with gratitude because you have seen the goodness of God come through in those situations, even whenever you couldn't in the moment, right? I'm guessing that's accurate. We see how God is able to redeem something that has been meant for evil and turn it for something good. And each time that we reflect on God's goodness and his blessings that he gives us in our lives, it enables us to more quickly experience gratitude in a given moment, regardless of the situation, even if the situation is dark or deeply challenging. And we can experience gratitude in the moments of hardship, not because of the situation, but because we know the one who is in control of that situation. And he is working out all things for our good. I like what 17th century minister Matthew Henry says. He says, an active faith can give thanks for a promise, though it be not as yet performed, knowing that God's bonds are as good as ready money. I love that quote. It's a little wordy and old-timey, but we can be thankful. Even though we are in the midst of unrealized goodness, unrealized promises, experiences of disappointment, because we know that God is good. His love endures forever, and he will ultimately make all things right. And because we know that this is true of God's character, and he is forever faithful, we can trust that though we are not experiencing a fulfilled promise or goodness in all the ways that we're praying for or expecting, we know that God's words and will for ultimate goodness to be done is as good as ready money. This is how we can rejoice and be thankful in all circumstances. I don't know if you've ever read the book The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. I think Andrew Peterson had a play adaptation of that that me and Abby went and saw, and it was amazing. But this story is talking about Corrie's family and getting thrown into work and concentration camps during the time of Nazi Germany. And she has this sister, Betsy, and Betsy's like one of the most amazing characters in this. As they were in a concentration camp struggling to survive, they actually had a Bible in their living quarters. And they were sharing encouraging scriptures, sharing the good news of Jesus with the people that they were living with. And every night, they would pray for one another. And as they were praying, Betsy thanked God one night for the fleas that they were living with. Fleas are a nuisance. And Corrie, her sister, could not understand why Betsy would be praying and thanking God for the fleas. That's something that she could not get behind. And then Betsy's quoted saying, give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. Corrie could not understand what could possess Betsy to pray something like this. But later, Corrie realizes that the fleas were so bad that the guards that would come in and want to check the areas that they're living in would not want to go into it because all the fleas were there. And that enabled them to continue to have a Bible with them and find that encouragement every night. That's a powerful example of being thankful in all circumstances, even when we can't see the big picture, even in the moment when we can't see the good in something. And you might be thinking, and I've thought about this before too, how can someone think and or pray like that? How can we genuinely express thankfulness in all situations in life? When I was teaching Bible at Lipscomb Academy, in my study for a unit I was teaching on virtues and vices, I was amazed how frequently gratitude was mentioned as an aid or an antidote to many of life's vices. There is something that is deeply formative in a positive sense about gratitude and expressing thanksgiving. I've experienced some of that transformation in my life. I used to be somebody who was so critical, so cynical, oftentimes very jaded. I looked at everything through the lens of its mistakes. Everything. It's kind of exhausting, I'm sure, for the people that were around me. There were many situations where I felt personal wrongs in my life, and I would immediately start asking the question, why, God? Do you even care about me? Etc. But in the last few years, I started practicing gratitude and thanksgiving regularly. Every morning before I get out of bed, if my mind remembers to do this, sometimes in the morning I'm a total zombie, but when my mind remembers to do this, I list out some of the things that I'm grateful for. I personally believe doing this over time has created space for the Holy Spirit to reorient my lens in which I view the world. I still look at things with criticism and entitlement sometimes, like I deserve better for some reason, but I'm certainly doing that a lot less. And some of you may be wondering about this idea of being grateful in all circumstances, thankful in all circumstances, even during the hard things in life, thinking that doesn't sound realistic or that's not possible. I'll certainly say that it's not automatic for most of us, but I have experienced that it is possible, at least once in my life. When I found out about my mom's stage 4 cancer diagnosis, this is a year and some change ago, I mean, I was hit with immediate sorrow and fear for what this means for her and for my family. And surprisingly, when typically I've operated from a baseline of entitlement or expectation that only positive things should happen to me for whatever reason, running alongside of that sorrow and that fear was also gratitude. Not gratitude in the situation. I have a new appreciation for how terrible cancer is because of what she's going through. And appreciation doesn't feel like the right word, but I have deep, deep sympathy for people who are experiencing that. Whenever people say it's a battle, like I see now how it's a battle. And it was so strange that in that moment I was experiencing levels of gratitude. Gratitude about how lucky am I that both of my parents are living at this point. I have friends who didn't have parents. I have friends that lost their parent at a very young age. I feel so fortunate. I feel like I have been given a gift I don't deserve, and that alone. Also, speaking of a gift that I don't deserve, which when I'm at my best, that's kind of the baseline in which I'm trying to see the world through, that I don't deserve everything. I shouldn't expect to get only good things in life. But whenever I do receive good things, I see it as a gift that I do not deserve. And I see that that's so true about my mom. My mom is a gift that I do not deserve. She is probably one of the best moms in the entire world. She is just an amazing woman of God. And I am so grateful for the influence that she has had on my life throughout the entirety of my life. And I pray for my mom every single day. Every single day for full healing in the name of Jesus. I hate that this is happening to her. I hate seeing her deteriorate. I pray for more time with her. I experience deep, deep sorrow in what is happening. And simultaneously, I am so grateful for her life and her impact on my life. I'm grateful that even though that this is a terrible diagnosis, it's helped me value every moment so much more. It's helped me realize that my relationships in life are finite. We have limited time with people in our lives. It's created opportunities for me and my mom to have like really good, meaningful conversations that we probably would not have had otherwise. My mom actually created a book of all of her memories in her childhood, and I got to read so much of that and learn about her past in ways that I would not have if this was not happening. And even through all of this, I'm able to have more empathy for people who are going through awful situations like this. I have more compassion and care for what's going on. So even right now in this moment, from whenever I first heard the diagnosis to today, I am able to see how God is working good things out of this terrible situation. I don't see all the good in it, I'm sure, but I see some of it. And part of how I'm really able to experience this in this moment is because I have a growing faith that God's promises are good as ready money. Though my time with my mom might be limited in this life, as it is with every relationship, right? You have a finite amount of time. But though my time may be limited with my mom in this life, we got all eternity to talk. I know being thankful in all circumstances is hard. I know it's not natural. But I am beginning to think it is possible. And boy, do I think it's transformational for our lives. What would happen if we as a church practice the gift of gratitude. It would change how we view the world. It would change our demeanor with other people as we interact with them. It would not only help us be more aware of God's active goodness happening within us and around us, but also we're going to be able to identify God's goodness working in other people and the rest of the world. And what an awesome opportunity to share that Thanksgiving with somebody else that we see God working in. That could really impact someone's life. What if from the experience of deep gratitude, from reflecting on God's goodness throughout our lives, throughout all of history, it led us to this place of deep joy. And then that joy and receiving a gift that we don't deserve makes us want to turn and offer the same for others, to give them maybe a gift that they don't deserve. If we lived like this, I think more surrounding people in our lives would come to know Jesus, because they're looking for people in this world who are experiencing joy. They're tired of what they're being fed about all the bitterness and cynicism and criticism. They're looking for joy. Our world is negative and dark. It feels like all the time. But because of God's promises being as good as ready money, we can help bring the aroma of Christ into our communities today. So let's start today. This morning, we're going to have our prayer team go around the room as normal, and they're available to pray with you for whatever's going on in your life. However, I would invite all of us, if you have a paper and pencil, maybe a formation journal, if you have your phone, you can use your phone, or making a mental list at the worst case scenario, we're going to practice gratitude and thankfulness. We are going to literally count our blessings and name them one by one. Think about the past year and how you were grateful. And our kids, actually, downstairs, are doing the same thing. They're making a list of all the things that they're grateful for. So parents, this is a great opportunity for you to talk about the importance of gratitude with your kids. During my study break this year, I spent my first day in reflection of my previous year, and I made a list of all the things I could think of that I'm thankful for or grateful for. And I really took my time. It took a few hours to do this and work through it. And guys, it was humbling. I filled up 3 full pages of notebook paper, bullet point after bullet point, with multiple columns within the page. 3 pages of things that I was grateful for from this past year. And I don't have time to share all of that with you because we would be here for hours, potentially. But I want to share with y'all about some of the things I am thankful for in this church. I want to start by saying, I wish I could go like through the whole room and look at all of y'all in the eye and talk about how I individually care for you guys, because I'm so grateful. Like, there are so many people in this church I love dearly, and I could just dote on y'all for a while, but again, I don't have time for that. But I want you to know I love you guys deeply. I care about you guys. But some of the things I wrote down from this summer: I'm so grateful that I have this job. I kid you not, every single day I come into work excited. I love my job. I love every aspect of it. This is the kind of work I want to be doing for the rest of my life. And I'm humbled and honored to be here and serve in this position. I'm also deeply thankful for our shepherds. I feel like I've gotten closer to them since I started here. And really, they have such a heart for this church. And they also have a heart for the mission of God, which is so important. I'm grateful that they care about what's going on in this church. And they have hearts to want to serve and pastor this church. This is oftentimes a thankless role, and they receive more criticism than praise oftentimes, but this is a really good group of leaders. I'm also grateful for our amazing staff. I could talk a long time about some of this stuff. This year, we made some really good hires. We hired Libby, and she's done a really great job running social media, graphics, generating new ideas, being a good team player, helping make videos for key things we're starting up. She's been a huge gift to this church. We also hired Aaron, who, along with Devin, have been doing an amazing job running our children's ministry. Aaron has such a good heart for kids. She's so intentional about planning all of her lesson plans and helping her volunteers succeed. And she's really creative, and she's helping instill spiritual disciplines like gratitude into our kids. That's amazing. Devin is also extremely passionate about your little ones and helping them connect with God. She's extremely creative and artistic, a very big encourager of her volunteers, which I need to get some of that thoughtfulness from her because she is amazing. But both of them are so gifted and such a gift to this church. We just hired Cam, and she is awesome. I'm really impressed with her. She just started, but she is such a deep person and so relational. And our youth group has someone who's really good that's going to be pouring into them. And I already know she's going to do an amazing job. We have our two admins, Catherine and Laura. They both do so much thankless behind-the-scenes work. Like, so much I can't even really list it. From helping with slides, to the stream, to building maintenance, to paying bills, to answering phone calls, to opening the door for people, to being basically like the parachute under the, whenever circus performers are on a tightrope and they like catch everything else that might fall, that's basically them. If they were gone, I would wake up in cold sweats every night. Like, they are the glue of our organization. I'm so grateful for them. I'm also thankful to work with Gary. Gary has such a heart for this church. He has done a good job of making connections in the community and giving Fourth Avenue a good name in the community, and has been doing really good work along with Catherine to help revamp our pastoral care team, and has been working with Libby and revamping our starting point. And he's one of the most pastoral executive ministers maybe in the history of mankind. So really thankful that he cares about the person before getting to the work at hand. I say all that to say, I love our staff, and I enjoy being with them. We have a really good group. And from within the church, I'm thankful for the baptisms we've had this year. I'm thankful that we sold our property this year. I'm thankful for small groups and formation groups starting up. I'm thankful that we are an intergenerational church. I value that so deeply. I'm thankful for all the new members that have placed membership here this year. I'm thankful that we are growing both numerically and spiritually as a whole church. I'm thankful for the missional heart of so many people in our church to work in recovery ministries and prison ministries and nonprofit ministries and so many other things. I'm thankful for our youth group who impressed me with their hunger for God. Seeing them at camp was amazing. Going to a 10-hour worship service where they were engaged in worshiping God the whole time, like, that's something that we should follow behind, right? That's amazing. I'm thankful for all of the volunteers. I wish I could name everybody. I'm sorry if I left you off the list, but from L Cubed to Lydia, and Laura helping out with preparing food and serving and being hospitable in so many different ways, from Will Baxter running Club 56, that is such a huge help to our church, to Nicole for leading Wednesday nights, the worship interim team, to our prayer ministry, to everybody who runs slides on rotation, to Charles and Will running sound, to our security team, hospitality team, children's and youth volunteers, women's ministry, classroom teachers, our missions committee, benevolence, outreach, so much more. And I'm sorry, I know I left people off the list. I apologize. And overall, I'm just super grateful to the Holy Spirit for what he is doing here. How he is working in people's hearts. Yeah, amen. From things like the first Sunday of this year, which was such a beautiful thing. God was working in people's hearts. Things like Easter, just so many different things that I'm not even aware of. How God has been moving and shaping our people. I know and feel and see how God is doing amazing things in this church through our people. And that's just some of it. I didn't even mention all the personal things I'm excited about, like one, having a baby girl. That's super exciting. Yeah. So, long story short, God is good, right? So this morning, let's reflect on how he has been good to us. I encourage everyone in our seats to start to reflect on this past year and practice Thanksgiving. Write out all the things that you're thankful for from this past year. I know you're not gonna have time to do that, so take it home with you. There's some homework for you. But we can get a start on it today. And then after we spend some time counting our blessings, we're gonna end and worship of God. Lord, we thank you so much for all the immeasurable blessings that you have given us, to the things we take for granted every day. I mean, being able to be in a room with air conditioning, having electricity, being able to eat meals, have food, to keep our sustenance. Lord, we thank you for our relationships. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our families. There's so much good that you are doing in the world, and it doesn't get talked about much. We tend to focus on all the evil, but the evil is just a shadow. It's a sign of brokenness, but we get glimpses of heaven each time we see some of the goodness in the world. We get glimpses of the good world that you have in store for us. We get glimpses of how you are working all things for good. And Lord, we are humbled. We are thankful for all the blessings and the things that we don't thank you for. And one day, I hope you just make it very clear of like, all right, we did this, and then I did this, and then I did this. And Lord, help us to see your goodness. Help us to be grateful in the moment and be thankful in all circumstances, even when it's hard. Lord, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for who you are and that you are faithful through all generations. And may we speak of your deeds to our neighbors, to our kids, to our grandkids, so that they may have instilled in them your faithfulness through the generations. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.